Pride will not receive anything from anyone unless you've worked for it.
Oh.
Because pride is based in works.
See, what got the brothers in trouble in the garden was one could not give God the glory through anything that he didn't work for. So he offered the plants, the growth of the plants, etc. And obviously the other one decided that he was just going to offer up an animal that would represent the blood that was to come to cleanse all of us, of creation. See? So when you have an individual who by choice says, you know, well, I can't offer anything that I haven't worked for back to God, you got to be very, very cautious, because again, the Lord was satisfied because of the blood sacrifice, because without blood, there's no forgiveness of any kind of sin. And so, you know, if you work for something and you're toiling day in and day out, it gives you self-satisfaction. Yes?
Wasn't it King David that said, I will give you nothing that costs? I will give you.
That costs me nothing. Right.
Nothing.
Yes. In fact, I was reading that this morning. And also, you know, King David was. It depends on the heart. Because there is such a thing as taking from what you have already received, which is the tithes and offerings that you give out. Mm-hmm. They are going to cost you something. Mm-hmm. So King David wasn't going to offer up a sacrifice on somebody else's land that was going to be given to him, because he felt this was not correct before God. So you have one side is arrogance, the other side is obedience. So your heart is what God looks at.
David's heart there wanted to give honor.
Yeah.
And I will not give something that doesn't cost me something, because then I'm not honoring.
Mm-hmm. So.
Go ahead.
When you're giving, let's say it's monetary.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's sacrificial. Mm-hmm. Not unless, but it should be more sacrificial.
No, because again, St. Paul says that out of the abundance you give. I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 8.
Maybe I'm saying it wrong.
Well,
let me think about it then, because I think I'm saying it wrong.
And okay.
I'm trying to answer myself.
If you look at 1 Chronicles 21, that's when David, verse 24, says, but King David replied to Arunah, no, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours or sacrifice a burnt offering that costs me nothing. Kind of cool that I had read that this morning, right? Yeah. So David paid Arunah 600 shekels of gold for the site. 26. David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. He called on the Lord, and the Lord answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of burnt offerings. Then the Lord spoke to the angel, and he put his sword back into its sheath. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him on the threshing floor of Arunah, the Jebusite, he offered sacrifices there. 29. The tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses had made in the desert, and the altar of burnt offerings were at that time on the high place of Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, because he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. Then David said to the house of the Lord God is to be here, and also the altar of burnt offering for Israel. So out of a tragedy, God provided a miracle. And I was looking at that this morning, because some of the words that came out of King David, you know, they're prophetic. And I can tell you that there are times when I can say that Pastor Gino would requote some of the words that came out of King David. And he totally relied on God's abilities rather than his own, even at the very end. And that was a privilege that I had to be able to minister to him and to assure him that God was on his side and protecting him, and would do the same that he had done for King David because of the anointing. See, the anointing on a person is really, from God's perspective, what you and I should respect. And so that includes our president. It includes any individual in office that God has provided. And we are to honor them by choice. Doesn't mean you agree. You know, you don't always have to agree with somebody, but you can respect. Amen? So I did hear this morning, we're going to Hebrews chapter 10. So if you'll come to Hebrews chapter 10 with me, say, Lord, I have eyes that see.
Lord, I have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear.
I have ears that hear.
And I have a heart that does perceive.
And I have a heart that does perceive.
What you're saying to me.
What you're saying to me.
I want to start with verse 1, and it's in the NIV, it says, Christ sacrificed once and for all. So the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never be the same sacrifice repeated endlessly year after year to make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshiper would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am, and it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. I want to make sure that you see the reality that the Day of Atonement, which is coming, was the Jewish way of survival. And even this day, the Jews will come to the Lord once a year on the Day of Atonement. And they would literally believe that their sins are wiped away one more time for one more year. The only problem is they don't have a blood sacrifice anymore. Because the Lord is the one that offered himself. And that's what Paul, I believe, wrote, because a lot of people say, oh, who wrote Hebrews? My impression is St. Paul. And he seems to be doing the same thing through all his letters. So, you know, we need to accept whoever wrote it was the same Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Underneath. Amen? So again, the Lord is making very clear that he has had a body prepared for him as a burnt offering and a sin offering. So, you know, when Jesus did the work that was required of him, we get the benefits. And it's incredible. So I'd like to kind of push a little further, verse 8. First, he said, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here I am, I have come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second. First covenant was not good enough. The second covenant is where you and I are willing to live in. Verse 10, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. You know, if you and I are made holy by that sacrifice, can you produce your own holiness?
No.
But you can try.
You can, yeah.
You can work at it and work at it. Remember what we talked about a few minutes ago? About Cain and Abel. One was going to work his way into victory. The other one would trust that he had already seen the Father offer up, because I'm sure that Adam and Eve declared to them what they had done. I also believe that they saw when the Father, God Himself, offered up animals and clothed His creation with animal skins. And that blood sacrifice made them acceptable again to the Father. So recreating an established covenant with Adam and Eve. But when Jesus comes, it's a whole new ballgame. The will, verse 10, that now becomes law for us is that we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Verse 11, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But when his priest has offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstools. Because by one sacrifice he made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Does that imply that you're perfect already?
No.
Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah.
He made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Perfection is a gift. It's not something you make a war of trying to perfect yourself. That's another works program that creates pride and builds up pride. I did this. Oh, I did such a good deed today. And you feel good about it. Religious? Yes. Holy Ghost? No. There are times the Holy Spirit has pressed me to give something so that making sure that no one would know the gift and where it went and how it went. Because again, there was a danger not to be recognized, not to advertise, or get a plaque on the wall or my name on a window. Are you catching on? That stuff is not God. Not that there's anything wrong with putting your name on a window, but recognize the purpose of the heart. When Jesus says, I've already been made perfect and holy, he means that we are perfect and holy. But being made holy through what? The things that we understand? Verse 15. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where there has been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. In other words, you can make an atonement, but it isn't going to produce anything. You can offer up sacrifice. It isn't going to do anything. It's just you spinning your wheels, making yourself feel good. Trusting that what Jesus did on that cross is what this whole program is all about. When we accept what he has done and we declare, I'm holy because of his gift. I am perfected because of his gift. I am acceptable to my Father because of his gift. His body was given for that purpose. So when we take this bread and wine, and we do it in remembering, we are reconnected to our Father. We pull in other people sometimes, like we did this morning. We press in to make sure that we're interceding for their abilities to come to the Lord. Not that we're going to sacrifice ourselves, but we're taking his flesh and blood to bring in grace and favor to those that we carry in our hearts. And we're carrying in our heart Texas. We're carrying in our heart the government, because it's there. Is it all perfect? No. But do they need help and grace? Yes. Are we the intercessors? Yes. Can we lift them up by choice? Yes. Do we think they're all perfect? No. Can God, through the sacrifice of his Son, make them and perfect them? Yes. How does salvation come to you and me? Do I have any idea who prayed for me to get me into the kingdom?
I'm sure a lot.
I have no idea. But I do know this. The Holy Spirit just showed me that there were some who laid hands on me. And I don't mean by an adjustment on my rear end either. I'm talking about with love. Pouring in love where I so desperately needed acceptance. And that was the way that God brought me in. And he'll do that same thing for you. Because you see, so many are laid on our hearts. If I walked around the room and I asked you to write down how many people you carry in your heart to bring before the Lord, I believe we'd have quite a list just going around this room right now. So don't underestimate God's plan. Don't shortchange yourself in believing that you have to perform to get yourself holy. Be who you are to the best of your ability. The Lord already gave up his body for you and me. That sacrifice is once and for all. It's not necessary for us to sacrifice ourselves. But as the Holy Spirit has already made clear, there are times that you can't change something. So you ask for grace and favor. Humble yourself, ask for help, because the Holy Spirit's available to help. And that was what I sensed in my heart today for all those people down in that flood area. So many don't have the ability this morning to maybe do what you and I are doing. And we are covering for them what they cannot do for themselves. But do we know 5 years from now, maybe we'll be in the same boat and we'll need them to intercede for us. And that's St. Paul's message to the churches. Carry one another. Send a gift to Jerusalem because they're suffering. Send a gift to this one. Send a gift to them. Amen? Because they're having a hard time.
Sacrifices he looks for is for widows and
children. Amen. And that's real. That's religion from God's point of view. I want you to close your Bible right now. I want you to just lift your hands to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, whatever you tell me to give,
it will be matched
by the house of prayer, so that a gift will go out
to those that are already ministering,
along with Pastor Jay, who is one of the executives in the ministry of Jezreel. Father, show me what to give. Give me the grace and obedience to do what you've called me to do. And I promise to give you the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor, can I ask a question? You know, when you started today, you said about once a year they went in to do for the, with their sins and hope that they were forgiven and that they were forgiven and that they were forgiven and that they were forgiven and